Hello,
I'm gonna
Fractal.
DM. I'm gonna DM you
Yo, what's
CF
up?
right now.
Hello,
I'm gonna
Fractal.
DM.
Hey, what's up?
Subscribe to Simply Bitcoin.
Doop, 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 doop.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome in. You made it. We made it to another episode of the Meme Factory podcast. This is test stream number 44. Can't believe we're still doing this shit. Anyway, this evening we are graced by the presence of Fractal Encrypt. Fractal, if you could give us the elevator speech of who the fuck you are.
Oh shit, I gotta go do some work here now.
I mean, that's the whole point. You gotta do work all night so that we don't have to create real content.
Ah, fair enough. So I'm glad to get hired here. That's most appreciated. Well, I guess I'm most known for my snarky comments on Twitter. Some people have also seen some art that I do. That's usually a back channel to my witty comments on Twitter. So hopefully, yes, people have seen my stuff. But if not, you can go over to my Twitter page. I have some pictures of my art there.
All right. I love your art. But
beep, 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 beep.
Before we get into any part of the show that has any real work going on, we need to get paid. The way we get paid is that our sponsors make our guests read the ad copy, and I've sent that to you. So at your convenience, if you could, get started reading that sucker so we can get paid.
Let's jump off with it. Throw your rep gently off the cliff. Shitcoin and Carter Mashinsky and Udi mad like the meter shift.
Shitcoin and Carter Mashinsky and Udi mad like the meter shift.
Throw your rep gently off the cliff. Shitcoin and Carter Mashinsky and Udi mad like the meter shift. Throw your rep gently off the cliff. Shitcoin and Carter Mashinsky and Udi mad like the meter shift.
Woo!
That was terrible. I love
a
it.
Shit show.
I love every second of it.
Boom, happy birthday.
I thought we crushed it for being the only time we've ever done it.
I think so.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Clearly. All right, so before we dive in too far here, Yellow, can you run the numbers?
Yes, of course. Number nine. Oh, no, shit. Okay, the hash rate is at around the Lightning Network capacity is at bitcoins. The Winpool Mixi Maxi No Taxi Taxi is at around and I see we pumped a little bit today, guys. We're at K USD dollars. Back to you, Craig. Number time.
We're totally losing our last sponsor. Anyway. All right, so, Fractal, you said that people would know you from your snarky comments on Twitter. And while that is true, my first introduction to you was was your full node art piece, which is absolutely gorgeous. So my first question for you is, can artwork be snarky?
I certainly hope so. I usually say, you can't. It's not even art if you're not making people mad. Although I would have to say, you're the one that said you snuck your hand under the display case and touched the sculpture at that 2021. So I don't know, man. I think the snarkiness might be coming from the peanut gallery here. But yeah, no, I mean, I think talking through art is definitely a lot better for me than speaking through English because I'm not too proficient with that.
Did you just call me the goddamn peanut gallery?
Yep.
I love it. And I did touch the sculpture. I just tried to make you feel better by saying that I didn't. I just got way I got right through security, lifted that plexiglass up, put my hands all on it.
Motherfucking peanut gallery.
That's right. So how do you go from diving into Bitcoin to making a functioning node piece of artwork? What's the connection there? How did you end up going that route?
Well, I think I've been telling stories through art for a long time. I like to make art that tells a story. So you've got a picture there. It's somewhat hopefully pretty to people just to look at, even if you don't know what's held within it. But I've always liked how like the Mayans and the Aztecs kind of encoded whole stories and iconographies within basically what was a pretty sculpture. So I've kind of tried to adopt that into my own style of art making where, you know, I kind of have my own message, and really my message is about using these revolutionary tools of self-sovereignty to kind of better your life and better the people around you. And, you know, I think the method to describing that is usually kind of different and esoteric for each person. So some people like to listen to somebody talk about it. Some people like to watch YouTube things. Some people listen to podcasts. Some people look at pictures and stuff. So kind of my art hopefully appeals to the people that are the visual learners. And, you know, I just take a whole bunch of stuff that I consume. I'm constantly consuming Bitcoin content. And in essence, I think the art is just, you know, it revolving through my head and then coming back out and spinning back out into the community. So it's basically just like my little spin off of what I've learned. Like, okay, I learned this stuff. It's interesting to me. And it's here's why I think it's important. And so I put that back in the art. And then I try to just put so much there that if it's a little overwhelming. So you have something to come back to over time. So, you know, okay, you see it today, you look at some stuff, you're into it, you check some stuff out, maybe it's like have some windows open in your mind, and then you come back to it a totally different day and go to a totally different place. So, you know, my hope is that it's something you can kind of look at over the years.
What are some of the major themes in your artwork that you like to have people come back and recognize?
Penis.
Well, I don't know. I try to put something in there for everybody in a sense. So I put some stuff that's deeply technical, some stuff that's really like you kind of have to go layers deep to get into. And then some stuff that's less esoteric, like some of the things that are more, I guess, easy to communicate in the sense of like I have one layer of the sculpture that's the pillars of Bitcoin. So I have three pillars that are set, a social, a technical, and a financial. And each one of those, I kind of had 21 Merkle trees that I did, and under each tree I named like a little thing. So I had seven items under each of those pillars that I could go through. So under the social layer, we have things like the peer-to-peer, the decentralized layers, and this is all like the people and the political stuff that happens in Bitcoin that's really not code-based or not computer-based. It's just the social layer in essence of Bitcoin. So this is us in essence. And then you have the technical layer. So now you have like SHA-256, ECDSA, Merkle trees. This is a little deeper. So, you know, as people go in there, each of these they may be familiar with or not familiar with. If they're not familiar with, cool, then that's like each one of those is like a conversation you can jump off into. And that's just one little tiny piece and one ring of the sculpture. And then the next one I move to is the financial pillar of Bitcoin, and that is kind of stolen from Saif Edeen's book, where he has like the different, you know, fungibility, divisibility, portability, unforgeable costliness, and, you know, the seven properties of money. So yeah, I put all those into there. So I have one layer that's like that, and, you know, I just try to make, I guess, something for everybody to get into. There's a lot of mathematical stuff and numerological things that line up. One guy, level 39, even found something that I didn't realize. I guess there's some kind of 369 thing that Satoshi did with the numbers. And he went through my sculpture and he's like, look, you know, fractal encrypt sculpture conforms to the 369 thing.
Oh, shit.
Like, holy shit. I didn't purposely do that. That's Satoshi. But, you know, it was actually beautiful to see how that lined up, because I tend to be one of those numbers people. And I don't know, sometimes just mapping stuff out. I think there's a whole book that I read on how numbers have information in them that you don't actually realize until you kind of lay them out geometrically. So until you see the number shape, you can't actually learn what's going on in there. So I think that's true for me too. So like actually laying this stuff out in a circular pattern and seeing how all the things line up almost like a clock is really like kind of mind blowing. So, you know, part of it is just something that I'm interested in doing for myself. Like I see things in these ways and I just want to kind of express that.
I'm curious. I'm going to take a shot in the dark here because of the rabbit holes you seem to enjoy. Are you familiar with any of Randall Carlson's work or Sacred Numbers?
No. Well, Sacred Numbers, I've heard of course. I'm probably into that. But Randall Carlson, no, you'll have to shoot me some info.
Yeah, I'll send you a link after this. But he's got he's got an hours long lecture on sacred numbers. These are numbers that pop up all throughout recorded history. That
seven.
that information is encoded in. So information like when to expect meteor showers or all kinds of fun stuff. But like what you're explaining to me about how there's
33, right, Craig? 33? 42. Wink, wink.
I thought, 42 is the number.
Yeah, 42 is the number. Yellow. Jesus Christ, get your shit
together. Oh, 33. Larry
I'm all into 33 and 42 for sure. I know how yellow runs the numbers. But no, yeah, there's actually a book called Philomath that has like a whole kind of new look at numbers. And it talks a lot about using digital root math and this geometric layout of numbers. And it kind of touches on these numbers that keep recurring in different places and different time scales and also different scales of the numbers. Like I guess Fibonacci has multiple, like a 1.1618 is also 0.618 and then also 2.1618. So all these things kind of happen in harmonic frequencies. And so, yeah, that Philo math book is super cool. I definitely can recommend that to anybody who's into numbers and geometry shapes. It's all that.
we have a meme factory member who's very into numbers. Labrahoddle recently is into pi.
Nice.
So anytime.
Yep. I love that number.
Yeah. Anytime you need it, he'll happily recite those numbers for you.
He can DM it to you if you want, Frank.
He can DM it to you.
Hell yeah, man. How many digits are we talking?
No.
Between 1 and 3 million digits. I can read them to you if you want.
I don't want to take up the whole hour, but we could do this offline for sure. For sure. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. So I was listening to an old podcast of yours the other day, trying to get prepped for this because I do extensive prep work for each one of our guests. And
research.
So I heard that you had an apartment burned down on you, and you ended up moving in with your girlfriend at the time. So, I mean, my question is, how did you decide to burn down the apartment as a strategy to get married?
I lost the stream for half a second. You said, how did I decide to burn down the house?
Yeah, how did you come up with the plan to burn down your apartment so that you could get married?
Oh, damn. You know, you're totally blowing my cover here. So hopefully my wife doesn't listen to this stream or nothing. But yeah, my devious plan totally got busted up here. But yeah, you know, it wasn't that the house just, you know, went up. I actually did that myself so I could take full credit and everything. So, right. You know, it's like it's how it goes. And, you know, definitely had it was one of those amazing things because like at the time, my whole body was burned. I like had to spend weeks in the hospital and stuff. Like 30% of my body was completely burned away with third degree burns.
Back up.
Yeah, what I was totally fucked up.
Was your whole body burned or was 30% of your body burned?
My whole 30% of my whole body.
30% of your whole body was burned.
Yes. Yes. And yeah, so the math is like basically whole body, 30%. And then on the other side of the equal sign is fuck you, Greg.
Yeah, sacred numbers.
Yeah, they keep recurring at different harmonic frequencies over and over again. So
you know what, fuck you, Greg does seem to keep recurring.
I wonder why. Sure.
No matter how many handles I get.
To finish the thought, I was going to just say that my body healed up perfectly. Like, you know, like people wouldn't really notice nowadays. Like it's been a good 10 years, but even a few years after, you know, like the body is an amazing thing. Like you basically destroy everything that you have physically, you know, everything's gone and then you know things come back. It's a good like confidence builder.
It sounds like you've had some pretty crazy experiences out there. I went down a rabbit hole recently. I think it was like a link that you shared on Twitter, and it was a link to this old forum post where you say it's you talking about being on a really long LSD trip. I'm super curious on just you know, part of me thinks that maybe like the true artist was born on the other side of that. I don't know, maybe you can shed some light on that.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, I spent a lot of time in like the early 90s and like the rave scene and basically selling LSD to, you know, was like my job at the time in the 90s. And I just became convinced that like it was just, it could never harm you. You know, like I do a lot of research, as you see, like on my mandalas and stuff. Like, so I would put that same amount of research into other things. So I was like, as much as I could find, there was like zero organic body damage. There's just like no damage that's really done through LSD. So I was like, this stuff cannot harm you. You could just take as much as you want. And like, I don't know if it was like, me trying to prove something to myself or other people, but you know, I just kind of would like start eating away at these sheets, and like it, you know, over time, like a week, I would say like I was up to almost 80 hits, and I had like totally lost my shit, and I had like friends that were coming over, and it was like I was dividing the room into like, you know, I actually live with a bunch of people, and it's like, okay, these are the current family people, and these are the future family people, and these people we got to leave behind because we're going to do some crazy shit they don't want to be involved with and stuff, you know. So like, and as it went on, like I was like seeing connections everywhere. Like if you watch A Beautiful Mind, how the guy like puts connections between like every newspaper, and he starts writing like I'm starting to like look in the Auto Trader and finding things. I like found this rare book dealer, and I called him up and was like talking to him, and he was like, yeah, you know, we have these rare French tiles, and it sounded to me like he was talking about LSD, and I was like, man, you guys have like LSD that you're selling like through the Auto Trader? It's just crazy. And then like, yeah, eventually at some point I was like talking to these little kids at the pool, and I was like, I'm sure these guys are DEA agents, these little 7-year-olds and stuff, but like I don't have nothing on me, so they're not gonna actually be able to arrest me and stuff. So I was like, you know, I'm really sorry guys, like you're gonna lose your job and stuff, because you know, nothing's gonna happen. So everybody that I encountered was like, this motherfucker's just straight out of here. So at some point I told my friend, I was like, hey, maybe like we should go to the hospital or something. And that was like a horrible idea. I should have just stayed at my house where my friends were, and I had all my weed and all my stuff, and like, geez, bro. But I was like totally losing it. I kept changing my phone number and like talk to this people and not talk to that people. And then I don't know, it's just one of these crazy things. And then I ended up in the hospital, and they're like trying to do all this stuff, and they're like marking all the pages that patient is not able to sign and stuff. And like, the head person at the mental hospital's name is Peggy Miracle. And I'm like, no, I don't believe that. How are you going to be named Miracle? And they just started like lining up all these people. Like there was like this old lady that I was reading the Bible to, and she was seeing angels. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, you know, that's angels. And I thought people were like representing other people, like a doctor kind of looked like my dad. So I thought he was like a secret agent for my dad trying to get information. And then I think I was actually on probation at the time too. So I'm like on probation and in the hospital, I'm like hundreds of hits of acid, and like it was just quite a entertaining situation to look back upon. But at the time it was certainly disconcerting. Finally they had to like let me out of the hospital. I was still kind of crazy, and they're like, well, you've been here like 30 days, but your insurance ran out, so you have to go. So like, you shouldn't actually stay here in town, because like I had like passports, and I was thinking like, yo, maybe I should just like leave the country and stuff, like because I'm like, things might go south and stuff, and whatever. So they're like, you should probably like go totally out of the area. So like I ended up having to go like live at my grandparents' house for a month, and oh my god, that was totally crazy. That poor people. So but eventually, like I don't know, I'd say like 6 or 7 months later, like I'm starting to kind of like rebalance and stuff. It's like I hadn't really still been
7 months.
Yeah, I wasn't really still taking LSD anymore. Like once the hospital thing happened, then I was like just crazy still for a little bit, and then like it just didn't seem to wear off. Like I was just, I guess, psychotic. And then
you get or you like, got?
I'm saying I guess I must have been.
Oh, okay.
According to like whatever their charts were, yeah, I was actually psychotic. But like eventually, so I ended up at like this other hippie festival, and some other people gave me like a couple hits of acid there, and that actually like reset me, where I was like, okay, like now I'm like able to breathe again. Yeah. And so like, so it like actually set me back like into being a human being again. And then I don't know, they had actually told me like things like, yo, you're never going to read again, and you're never going to be able to hold a job or talk to people normally again. And like, so I had all that stuff, like, you know, that these doctors and people of authority that are trying to tell me and feed me. And like, I don't know, I kind of came back from that. Like one of the first things I did was like read a book. So it was like, no, these people are full of shit. I can read. You know.
Got him.
Exactly.
I can read and cool and do cool shit.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So yeah, yeah. So, you know, that was like 1998, and that was certainly an interesting year.
Okay.
That answered the question.
But did it enhance your art? Did you come out an artist after that, or were you an artist already before the LSD trips and stuff?
I was doing a lot of art and weird stuff. I don't know about before the definitely. I mean, I've been doing art since I was a kid. I would say it's kind of like the Beatles, maybe, where you have like a more bubblegum and like style art at first, but then once you encounter psychedelics, like, it transforms and becomes something else. So yeah, it definitely had an effect on both the way that I create art and the way that I just approach life in general. Yeah.
So how did it change the way you approach life in general?
Well, there's just
a sailor sigh right there.
Yeah, exactly. You caught it. I'm not sure how to answer that one, but there's definitely a bifurcation, and I think the way that I live.
I think we lost him.
That's okay. We don't need
him. Yeah.
So, while we wait for him.
You know what I relate this to is like when we had Maulers on, and he told that story about like falling out of the apartment, and then like afterwards, like he just blew Strike up, right? Like he went from struggling to get something done with Strike, he busts his head open, falling off of that apartment, and then all of a sudden Strike blows up. Like that was how I was interpreting Fractal's story too.
See, I thought you were talking Fractal. About his. His quick jump off is like a Nick Carter type thing.
No. Fuck you, Greg. did we get Fractal back?
I think I came back, man. I don't know. The internet didn't want me to tell that story.
Fair enough.
DEA, man.
Question, no comment, no comment, no question.
So, are you still doing the acid?
I was going to eat some before this show, actually, but I was just not sure how you guys were going to react to that. So I would have to say I totally quit for, like, the last couple minutes, but, like, last weekend, I don't know.
Quit the last couple minutes.
But I'm not into all that quitting shit, bro, so.
Fair enough. So, quitting for
quitters.
Were you tripping when you – oh, go ahead, Greg.
Nah, hit him.
I was going to say, when the concept for the note sculpture like popped into your head, were you tripping during that? Or was that more of a sober, just like, I have an idea?
That was not a sober, I have an idea. No, I was actually, I was actually at Bitcoin 2019 in San Francisco. And I had brought some acid with me, and I had brought like some white blotter, and I left it in the, apartment or the, whatever it was, the little hotel that you get, and it was really close to the conference. So I was like, okay, I'll eat, little pieces here, go to the conference, come back at lunch, maybe if I need some more, whatever. And then like, I come back and the fucking maid had cleaned the room. And I guess it just looked like a little piece of white nothing to her. And I was like, motherfucker, oh, no. I was like, I can't believe this. I was like, but you know what? Like, I'm in San Francisco. So I was like, let me see how far Haight-Ashbury is. So I like look it up. It's like, you're like blocks from Hippie Hill and stuff. So I'm like, okay, I walk out to Haight-Ashbury. As soon as I get to the corner, I run into some kids that I knew from Grateful Dead tour. And like immediately they're like, oh yeah, we got some tabs and stuff. So I was like, okay, this is awesome. And we walked over to Jerry Garcia's house. And while I was walking to Jerry Garcia's house, I was kind of thinking of one of the speakers at the conference, and they had talked about the clock and calendar like nature of Bitcoin, and I started to talk to this person that had given me the tabs about that, and that was kind of when I first started to visualize, I think, the Mayan calendar version of Bitcoin, and it kind of started there in like July 2019, and it took me a many months, I would say, like all the way till December before I actually had the schematic, the actual drawing of what I thought it would look like, not even the wood pieces or anything, but just the map of it. So it took a long time to actually get from idea to finished piece, but it all definitely started through LSD and Bitcoin conferences.
That's awesome. Have you guys watched that old movie called Pi?
Yes. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. So you remind me of that guy, Fractal, but like more artistic.
Right on. Yeah, I don't remember. Wasn't that guy like somewhat super crazy? But yeah, I guess
that guy
like
drilled a hole in his head in that movie.
In the end, yeah, but not
so you're saying he's got time.
So are you?
Exactly. We're still good here. We're still good here.
Still early.
You still got time, Fractal.
He's going to do that at Bitcoin 24.
Exactly. We got to keep shit going.
The hippie side will save me. Yeah.
All right, I want to check in.
You said?
I want to check in with Labrador. Yeah, but yeah, you got a question?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, yeah, you said like July 2019, Fractal?
Yeah, July
2019. That's exactly 3 years ago.
Oh shit! You know what?
Do you know a good number that starts with a three?
Yeah, I know a good number that starts with three. Pi.
It's the pi number. Do you want me to read it to you?
Go, let's do this. Let's do it.
No. We gotta let him do the first 20. We got it. We won't let him be able to stop
us. Okay, I'll give the score then. I think it's time for the score.
All right, give the score.
Okay. So I'm not gonna read the pi number just for you to know, Greg.
Is the score gonna be 3.14?
No, because Greg doesn't like it. Nobody likes it. So I'm going to skip that for now. But I have another surprise. So the scoreboard right now, we have a fractal. You have a plane right now. Sean, you got a microwave. Greg, you got a banana with no bread. Becca, hot water to boil two eggs. Pedro, I don't know why I put an airplane.
Thank you.
Rusty, you got a pen and paper. Marcus, you got a puzzle. And Chair Force is going to take the best score for the night. So I'm going to read the Fibonacci sequence.
0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 89, 144, 236.
Labra,
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 Labra, Square, Labra, Square, Square,
Square,
there.
What?
Labra,
here's a treat.
Yeah.
Now
here's
I have
a
to
tennis
start
all over. Ew. Here's
a tennis ball.
Yeah. Labra, go get it. And first of all, you missed me, Labra. You didn't give me shit. So fuck you.
Yeah, you can give Leo anything. What does yellow get?
Yeah. I said yellow, yeah. No, I didn't say yellow. Okay, yellow, you got plutonium. Or you want the pi number.
Thanks.
The time machine.
Fucking plutonium. All right. So, Fractal, you have a murder shed with a laser cutter. How'd that come
about? Oh, yeah. Well, the murder shed came about as I moved out of the city. We used to live downtown and right in the middle of Miami, and then we actually got out of Dodge about 2016.
When you were in Miami, you had what, a murder living room?
No, we didn't really have a murder or anything there. It was kind of a lacking space, I think, you know, like we really amped it up over here with the murder shed and stuff. So, you know, it's like can actually keep shitcoiners in the basement locked up. And, you know, it's a nice setup out here.
All right. So tell everybody what the murder shed really is.
Yeah, well, the murder shed, the murder shed is just this old junky shed that was out back on a property that I bought here. And I was going to throw it out. And I thought, it was going to cost me money to get rid of. And it was just actually like, it looked pretty sad. I mean, it was like spiders living in there that probably could have eaten our whole family and stuff. And most of the stuff in there was rusted and probably hadn't been touched in 20 years. So like right when I moved into this house, like we saw the murder shed and it was like kind of intimidating to me, but my friend saw it and he was like, this is a beautiful thing, man. He's like, you just put a little money and energy into this and we're going to turn this into something. And he was able to come over here every single day and busted that thing out. Like we basically totally cleaned it out, put in flooring, drywall, AC, power. And now it's actually like a workspace that I've been busting out all this art from. So it's, the murder shed has done me well. And and I have this like cheap Chinese laser that I bought, like that, like they basically built totally to like fly a dude over from China to fix it. And like he did, but then he forgot to set like the servos correctly for the parts that he put in. Like he just left the factory settings. And so I've had to like go through this machine and learn how the whole thing works, tear it apart and break it down. So I'm like, when I first got this thing, I was afraid to move a little button on it or a little dial because I thought I'd break it or, you know, like mess it up or something from the factory settings. Little did I know the factory settings are all fucking janky as hell.
Garbage.
But yeah, factory settings, dude. So but actually, like, so it's been a huge learning curve. But like that machine certainly has changed my life. I can't complain at this point. It was like a few years to get it like up and running to actually do things. And I'm certainly, you know, things happen in the times they're supposed to happen, I guess. Like, what can I say? But like that shit just breaks all the time. I'm like trying to finish number 10 right now. And I just had like two pieces that I needed to cut and finish up. And it's like, right as I'm doing it, like, it's giving me a weird problem with the way that the power works. And it's like, I check every fucking wire and it's like, that fixed it last time. Now it don't fix it. I find a way to make it work. Okay. It's cutting the way I want. But then as soon as I do that, then the air fucking breaks on it. And it's like, oh, well, the air's broken other times on me. So I know I got a tube up in here somewhere. So it's like, before those type of things would put me down for weeks, but now it's like, everything is broken and I got the parts before. So it's like, okay, nope, take this, fix that shit. And I keep going. So it's like, that shit don't hold me back no more. I work with my crappy stuff and I just, you know, plow through it and you get the shit done.
So this is one of the things that I really appreciate about you. So I don't know if you've ever heard the expression that change happens at the margin, or that economic action happens at the margin.
Yes, I've heard that.
So, you know, you do a lot of your work operating at the margin of your capabilities, which means that you are constantly, you know, evolving and honing your craft. What got you to the point where that's where you like to exist, at the margin of your capabilities?
I find that's where I have growth. You know, like, if I just keep doing the same thing, then I just get stagnant, even if I'm doing it well and it looks expert, you know, to some people. If I'm not growing in my heart, you know, I know it. So it's like, every time I have an opportunity to do a new piece or new work or something, I want to do it a little outside of what I already know how to do, because I already know how to do that. So it's like, there's no room for me to achieve like a sense of greatness. I feel like it's like, no risk, no reward. You know, sometimes to have results that you never had before, you have to do things that you've never done before. So it's like, and that takes a lot of failure. Like, I've got whole stacks of failures everywhere around here that, like, hey, this didn't work out. But I guess you could also look at that not as a failure, but more as like a training or an education. Like, you're kind of like putting in your dues and paying your college tuition and stuff by like doing this learning. Because like, a lot of this stuff, no one's doing it. So I can't just go on YouTube and say like, hey, like, how do you do this thing? I have to actually go figure this shit out. And it's like, not only do you have to figure it out, but you have to figure out like what products to use. How do you use them together? Can, like, is this shit going to blow up when you put a laser on it? You know, like, little stuff like that is very important. So it's like, it just takes a ton of testing. And I think you have to be willing to go through that testing and just like, yo, I'm going to just fuck up all these just to get one good one. You know, because all you need is one good one. So that's my thing. So like, I don't mind, like, I think like it's exciting. It helps me grow. And it, like, I always feel like you should look back at your old work and cringe a little at how bad, you know, how bad it is, because like, yeah, you know, like, now you're best. You like, yeah, like, damn. So yeah, that's my point of view.
Definitely do that with the memes. Stuff a year or two ago, and I'm just like, oh.
Oof, perfect. That shows you're growing. That shows you're growing, though. That's what you want. You know, that's what you want.
So do you have any top secret projects in the works right now, like something new, or you're just crap or getting better at this, like, this know that you're already doing and stuff like that?
Well, I'm trying to finish my number 10
secret projects that are like in the works right now.
No, I don't have any.
Yeah, also, if you have like any top secret stuff, like, can you mention one at least?
Yeah, anything.
Yeah, we have some super duper top secret stuff that's just about to be released. And, you know, I can only say so much about it, but, you know, it's kind of this and that. And, you know, we're trying to do things and put things together. And one of those things is like going to be really cool. And, you know, that's all I could really say about it at this time.
Have you thought of a career in politics?
Yeah, nice deflecting.
We're going to do this and that. So if this and that had a fiscal form, what would it be?
Jerome Powell.
I'm putting it together.
Marty is saying, yeah, look back and cringe at Craig's first memes.
As long as Craig Zadjuan is still up and running.
Fractal, when Money Printer go burr, RP?
I don't know. You know, the whole world is just going crazy with the financial stuff. I think the only thing that I've, you know, come to know is that none of us know what's going to happen with any of these numbers. They go up, they go down. You just got to look. I mean, I think like the government's going to do just some, who knows what these people are going to do. They're going to do whatever is in their interest to do that's not in our interest to do, I think. But I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in anything outside of myself. Like, I try not to get distracted too much with the world. You know, like, a lot of, you know, my wife gets very like dragged into a lot of, you know, politics and shit that's going on in the world and this and that. And I just try to like keep my head down, keep focused, and just do what I'm trying to do. I get very distracted by Twitter and the world too. Like, you know, like you see some stupid comment and you spend 4 hours like making fun of people all of a sudden. But like, other than that, like I do try keep a level of focus and stuff. But no, actually I do have, I'm trying to finish up my sculpture number 10 right now, the last of the Bitcoin full node sculptures. And I'm trying to do like a clear coat as the last layer on it. I'm trying to learn stuff, and this clear coat thing was quite the mission to do. And I actually found the best way to do it is actually to rent like a professional shop, but I couldn't find anybody to rent me like a professional paint booth. Like I wanted like basically what people paint cars in. They're like a dust-free booth. It's a very professional shop. And I like, cause I can't be having nothing get on this. It like has to be perfect. You know, it's like multi-Bitcoin sculpture. This shit has to be good. So I couldn't find anybody in Miami to rent me, a paint booth at all. So I found somebody like 300 miles away. So I was like, okay, fine, I'm gonna come up there and do this. It ended up like I tried to like rent a U-Haul so I could like, because the paint, when you paint it, usually the next day it's gonna smell. So I didn't want to like drive home with that in my car and stuff. So I tried to rent a U-Haul trailer so I could trail it behind the truck and bring it up there with all the pieces and all that. I did rent that, and then U-Haul called me like the day before and they're like, hey, we don't have that trailer for you because the person that had it needs to like keep it longer or some shit. I'm like, all right, well, do you have another one that, like a different size or something? They're like, no, we don't have nothing. It's like 4th of July weekend. They don't have nothing. Like, no, like all of Miami has no U-Hauls and shit. So like no trailers. So turns out like I end up having to actually rent one of the trucks, you know, to do it. And instead of the trailer, because now you got to pay by the mile. It's like $1.20 per mile instead of just the trailer that's nothing. So, and I have to go 600 miles. But I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of driving with the Mona Lisa here. This shit is like the most, like more valuable than anything that my house, you know, like so all these pieces I just spent like 6 months making on. Yeah. I just spent like my whole life trying to make these like the pieces of this thing that I'm going to put in this U-Haul to bring up there. And I'm like praying nobody's going to crash into me on this the way up or the way home. It was like just such a high intensity moment of just trying to get it up there, get the stuff done, get it painted, get it back. And it was quite the mission. But now I got all that done. I'm here. I actually had a couple pieces that I wasn't happy with, so I'm actually painting those here right now. I actually got them outside. As soon as we're done, I'm going to walk out and pray those are all done. And if they are, then I've got all my pieces fucking done. I just put the shit together, send it, and we're done. So we'll see how it goes. But so I'm excited.
Do you already have a buyer for the piece, or is it going on auction after you're finished? What are you doing with it?
It's already sold, and I'm like so late with it. Like I told the guy I was gonna like, yeah, I'm gonna start January 15th and I'll be done like by mid-April, because I wanted to display it at the Bitcoin conference. And like I was like, yeah, I'm gonna tell him mid-April, so the Bitcoin conference is early April. I'll try to like work it out, so like I'll tell him I want to display it there. And I'm not even finished today. Luckily I had Eric that let me display number 6 there, so it's sold. It's actually late, but you know, I don't mind taking a while to get it done, because it's like in the end, you know, it's the end result that matters. I'd rather take an extra month or two. Absolutely. On something that I hope lasts like 100 years, that, you know, it just doesn't make sense to rush through this stuff. You know, it has to be right, has to be, you know, appropriate. I don't want no invalid blocks.
No, you don't. So does that mean that we're gonna have the top secret item at Bitcoin 23 then?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's go.
Most def. Yeah, let's go.
Nice.
Now, you said you didn't want to inhale the fumes on the way back with the sculpture, but that doesn't jive with your earlier statements about bifurcating as a person when you take drugs to do better art. Why wouldn't you have somebody else drive and then sit in the trailer with you?
I don't know. I guess we all have our like substances that we're going to like ally with. Like for me, I don't know. I don't think paint fumes is going to help me out. It's kind of like Bitcoin and shitcoin. You're going to have some things that are going to work always the right way for you, like Bitcoin. And then you're going to have everything else that's like a shitcoin, and you don't want it to be distracted by all that nonsense. So, you know, that's how I look at it.
Right, paint fumes are a shitcoin, Greg.
No, well, I think what he's saying is that paint fumes are more like they're like a stable coin, right? They get you to the place you're going.
Paint fumes are
great. I'm not saying none of that.
Oh, nah, man.
Paint fumes are for venting out of the broom.
Yeah, they're venting out of the room. Don't huff paint, kids. It's bad for you. You lose brain cells.
Man. Don't shitcoin.
And you need every last one, trust me. Don't shitcoin. Don't shitcoin at all. Now, has anything happened this week that has inspired you to make any new types of art?
No.
No.
Maybe a Nick Carter,
definitely some snark. I think Nick set us up with lifetimes full of snark that we can play with out here. Like, it was amazing to see somebody that had like a really good maximalist philosophy, like in 2018, 2019, like some really good takes on stuff, to just totally turn around and torch their reputation and like actually continue digging in with the shovel, like for 10,000 words, as that song so eloquently said that we saw today. So I don't know, it just shows that, like, no matter, and I saw, you know, a lot of people are defending, saying, hey, look at all this amazing content, like you know the stuff that he put out was so foundational and revolutionary. And it's like, that just goes to show that it don't matter who the fuck you are, you come out with some reputation torching shit, 5 minutes later you're done, you know, that's how it goes. You know, I think people like take that for granted, but it's been interesting to watch, and I've really enjoyed that. I've been having a lot of fun.
Just an idea, Fractal. Just an idea. How about a Nick Carter, like a babushka, like Russian doll thing?
Yeah, I don't like to put people's faces on stuff because they all burn themselves eventually. So, like, all these people that, you know, artists that make portraits of famous Bitcoiners, it's like, that's a losing battle and a losing game. And
no heroes.
No heroes.
No. Yeah. Then I'm going to look back a year from now and cringe.
Now, I'm glad you brought up the song, because I enjoyed the hell out of it today. And I don't know if anybody watched it yet, but I'd like to play it if you're okay with
it. Please. I've watched it like 400 times already.
All right. Hang on. Let's bring it up here.
I actually enjoyed Yellow's meme more, but go ahead. Babe.
Yeah, Yellow's meme was excellent. I watched that.
The drunk one, so good.
Used to ride thank you. We can't hear that 6 hours.
Used to say hello, Jessica, on your Twitter.
This is an ultimate fucking great one.
But I never said those things.
Oh, it's. are we muted?
Distancing myself was the best thing I ever did.
God damn it.
Oh, well, so long. It's been great. It's time to set the record straight. 4,000 words about how
you rap gently off the cliff. Shitcoin and Carter, it would be bad like Peter Schiff.
And my star.
That was the song. It was epic. What can we say? Done and done.
It's my star.
They are hearing the song.
Oh no.
Sorry, guys. I'm drunk.
You say you slay all your heroes. Well, I guess we'll see.
What are you drinking, Neil?
But can the network even function if you don't have me?
I don't know, I was just wondering what Yellow was drinking.
Not investing in my fund. Investing in myself was the best thing I've ever done.
Are we there yet?
Oh, well, so long. It's been great. It's time to set the record straight. 10,000 tweets about how I don't even need you guys. Sure, a scam, don't give a damn. You toxic plebs and your little can.
You know my stuff
will continue to rise. Incredible, incredible. I'm the bear of bears and the bull of bulls. And my star will continue to rise. Like a cum rocket spike into the sky. Like a beat cast short after 2025. After Vitalik dies.
Beautiful song, right, guys?
Right. Fantastic.
Nice. Very nice.
What's your normie friend tell you, Yellow?
It's a segment. After that.
It's still going.
All right. There we go. Did you guys enjoy back. The video with the commentary?
Yeah. All right, man. Fuck.
All right, so who is asking the RD question tonight? Which
wait, before you go, I have a normie message to read.
Oh, read the normie. I thought you were going to read it.
Yeah, so a normie friend of mine reads out after 2 years on Facebook. I had to log in on Facebook again after 2 years to answer to my normie friend. So...
Don't stop believing.
He went like, "Hey, Yellow, what's up, man? Long time no see." Yeah, this is your normie friend. Yeah, we haven't speak. So yeah, but that Bitcoin thing, man. Yeah, I'm thinking of buying some. Really, but like I saw a BitBoy video and he's talking about 12k. So what do you think? Should I wait? Should I wait to buy a 12k, man? Like, yeah, it pumped a little bit. I saw that. Yeah, actually. Oh, you think it doesn't matter if we're going 100k and above? It's meaningless. Yeah, but like 12k, man. Like, why not? Like, buy. I think it's gonna drop. What do you think? Yeah, I'm thinking a portion of that. Actually making it to buying some pigeon fart. I don't know if you heard it. It's a Cardano clone thing. Pigeon fart yield. Yeah. Only Bitcoin, you think? Yeah, I don't know about that. I really don't know about that. I'm going to wait for 12K. I think this is a sucker's rally. I don't buy it. And I'm going to buy also pigeon fart. So thanks for nothing, I guess. Okay, Yellow. Okay, yeah. I was the clever one at school. I know better, fucking Yellow Puppet. That was a message. He was a little bit rude.
He was a little bit rude, but very coherent.
Yeah.
Very coherent.
That was very brave of you to share that, Yellow.
Stunning.
Yeah, thank you.
I didn't name the guy.
So, did you respond?
I won't say.
All right, let's ask our guest the RD question. Which one of you wants to get after this? I'm thinking of
Rusty's been quiet.
Rusty, yeah.
Hand up, Rusty.
I have been. Yes. Do I have to put my hand up? Or
did you get the notes?
Did I get
Raise your hand, please, Rusty.
Raise your hand, Rusty.
Yeah, raise your hand.
You,
okay. Raise your hand.
You can talk after you raise your hand, Rusty.
Yeah, no problem. Just give me a sec.
Hi, Rusty.
Yeah, Rusty, go ahead.
Hi, Labra.
Ooh, yeah, Labra's going to have to go first. Labra.
Sorry.
Hi, everybody.
He comes first.
Yeah, so... Rusty has a question, so I'm going to pass it to Rusty. Go ahead, Rusty.
Thanks, Labra. Thanks, boss. G'day, Fractal.
You can put your hand down now, hey. Rusty.
Yeah, okay. No problems. Hey, Fractal, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Excellent. Just checking in. It's been a while. Okay. Question for you. If the meme factory did exist, and we all know it doesn't, which one of us would you mute? Which one of us would you like? And which one of us would you retweet? Go.
Oh, well, this is pretty easy. I'll just mute Greg. I'll retweet Yellow. And I like Becca.
That was fast.
Hey, that was quick.
That was fast.
We just need easy. More people really? Like on the show.
Yeah. I have to say, excellent British pronunciation, Rusty.
Yeah, it was very
I don't know
good.
How you do it.
Yes.
That's the RD question.
So he's being RD again. He's back to me. It's fantastic.
Nice job, mate.
Thanks, Josh.
Sean, you got a thing. Do your thing.
Fractal, what's up, man?
What's up?
We have the Bitcoin 2024 halving party coming up in 2024, obviously. And we want to give you an invite. It's going to be in El Salvador. Bring your family. Bring your LSD. Well, don't bring your LSD. Bring it, but bring it on the low.
I don't travel. It's like American Express, man. You can't leave home without this shit. It's like, you know, it's like Bitcoin. You can travel with it in your head.
Yeah.
Don't get.
It's
don't
not
get
like Visa. It's not everywhere you want to be.
Don't get Brittany Griner out there, dude.
Oh, this sounds really cool. I like the invite. Let's fucking go.
It's gonna be a blast. It's gonna be a blast. All the pubs are gonna be there. There's gonna be some cool people down there. We're planning it right now. We actually were planning it right before, so it's gonna be a ton of fun. It's not gonna be a Bitcoin conference, that type of thing. It's just going to be a party. There might be a couple of speakers, but it'll be its own fun little thing, and we'll make it great.
Hell yeah. I'm not much into seeing the speakers anyway.
Be honest, man. Fraka, you've made like a device to hide things, right?
Yeah.
Haven't you?
Yeah, I've made devices to hide things for sure.
Nice.
What?
All right. Well,
now coming back into the country with me is a huge mission. You know, we'll see. Like last time I went on a cruise with my wife. Jesus like we Christ. Came back and man, it was like we had like 7 or 8 cops with 2 dogs that were like, "Hey, we want to go through your room and see what you got with you." I'm like, "What I got with me?" I was like, "I don't got nothing with me." And so they went through everything, like went through all like my wife's little jewelry and her purses and all these things, and like, like it was quite the thing to come back into the country. So I don't know, it was a fun experience. We'll see how it goes again. And then like when we got home, it actually turns out that I had actually hid some stuff in a Band-Aid, and like they just didn't happen to find it, and like, dude, they went through everything. So yeah, you know, I guess it just happens like that sometimes. You know, I'm not into much crossing borders and stuff. It's been like worse recently, but
that was stay safe, sir.
Dude, stay safe. Make a having
travel with me.
Make a having sculpture and bring it on down, dude.
Hell yeah.
Hi, Rusty.
Hey, Rusty.
Hey, Rusty.
What's up, man?
I know Greg's trying to wrap us up. I can see him. He wants to wrap
you us up. You can put your hand down.
I did have – thanks, Pedro. Giga Chad.
You'll be in MTC tonight as well?
Giga Chad sculpture. Did you just ship it to him, or did you go hand deliver it and meet the Giga Chad?
I got to bring it over. He actually doesn't live far from me. It's funny, like he's only about an hour away, but at the same time, it's like a million miles away. You know. But no, I got to go over there, bring it, and hang out. Yeah, we all went to the beach, which was like right next to his house, and like going to the beach with him was like quite the thing. Like they actually like had at the beach like a whole thing set up with like canopies and like food and actually people serving you and like every kind of ball and like fucking fin you could imagine to play at the beach and stuff. Like I don't know, it was a pretty neat day for sure.
Models?
Nah, just kidding. I just kidding. You know, I just mailed it on over.
Okay, now I'm confused. Are you actually joking?
Wait, did you put your hand up for that question, Rusty?
Yeah, Rusty. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the Georgia guys are down. What the
fuck? Yeah, I saw that.
That's awesome.
Rusty, do you actually have another question?
Hopefully nobody knocks my
sculpture. No, I don't.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm going to touch whatever sculpture you bring to the next Bitcoin conference for sure. You're going to have to guard
it. Yeah, touching is not so bad now that you got people blowing shit up.
So,
but, you know, I guess if you don't have people blowing up your sculptures, you ain't shit yet. So, you know.
Fair
he's
enough.
He's probably going to
not radical him. Enough.
All right, Fractal, since you've got us all here, do you have any questions for any Mean Factory members?
No, I don't have any questions for you.
Yes. All right, man. Well, we are basically at the end of our hour here. Is there anything that you have going on that you want to direct folks to? Do you have a website, a Twitter page, or you have a project that you want people to take a look at? What are you doing?
I don't got none of that stuff, but yeah, come find me on Twitter. I'm at Fractal Encrypt on Twitter, and yeah, I just like to, you know, chat Bitcoin and art and self-sovereignty stuff. So yeah, come hang out. But I don't got really nothing to show.
Fair enough.
But thank you for the opportunity. Love that.
All right. So like normal.
Thanks for hanging out, Fractal.
If you enjoyed listening to Fractal, you can find his Twitter handle and link in the show notes, as well as a link to the song we played about Mr. X Maxi Nick Carter. Thanks everybody for showing up tonight. Fractal, special thanks to you for coming. We appreciate you sharing your time with us. Everybody, have a good night.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. 3.1415. Bye, guys.